Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels to the holy places. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted the inhabitants of South India. These people were as strong as elephants, but they were in the crutches of the crocodiles of various philosophies, such as Buddhism, Jain, and Mayavada philosophies. With his disc of mercy, the Lord delivered them all by converting them into Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Sri Advaita Prabhu, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya's tour of South India was certainly very extraordinary, because he visited many thousands of places of pilgrimages there. On the plea of visiting all these holy places, the Lord converted many thousands of residents and thus delivered them. Simply by touching the holy places, he turned them into great places of pilgrimage. I cannot chronologically record all the places of pilgrimage visited by Lord Chaitanya. I can only summarize everything by saying that the Lord visited all holy places right and left, coming and going. Because it is not possible for me to record all these places in chronological order, I will simply make a token gesture of recording them. As previously stated, all the residents of the villages visited by Lord Chaitanya became Vaishnavas and began to chant Hari and Krishna. In this way, in all the villages visited by the Lord, everyone became Vaishnavas, devotees. In South India, there were many types of people. Some were philosophical speculators, some were fruited workers, but in any case, there were innumerable non-devotees. By the influence of the Lord, all these people abandoned their own opinions and became Vaishnavas. At the time, all the South Indian Vaishnavas were worshippers of Lord Ramachandra. Some were Tattvavadis, and some were followers of Ramanuja. It says the Tattvavadis were followers of Sri Madhvacharya. After meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all those different Vaishnavas became devotees of Krishna and began chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Pahimam, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Rakshamam. O Lord Ramachandra, descendant of Maharaj Raghu, kindly protect me. O Krishna, killer of the Keshi demon, kindly protect me. While walking on the road, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to chant this Rama Raghava mantra. Chanting in this way, he arrived there at the banks of Gautami Ganga and took his bath there. Purport. The Gautami Ganga is a branch of the river Godavari. Formerly, a great sage named Gautama Rishi used to live on the bank of this river opposite the city of Rajamutri, and consequently this branch was called the Gautama Ganga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Mallikarjuna Tirtha and saw the deity of Lord Shiva there. He also induced all the people to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There he saw Lord Mahadev, Shiva, the servant of Lord Ram. And then he went to Ahovala Nrisingha. Upon seeing the Ahovala Nrisingha deity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered many prayers to the Lord. He then went to Siddhavat, where he saw the deity of Lord Ramachandra, the Lord of Sita Devi. Upon seeing the deity of Lord Ramachandra, the descendant of King Raghu, the Lord offered his prayers and obeisances. Then a Brahmin invited the Lord to take lunch. That Brahmin constantly chanted the holy name of Lord Ramachandra. Indeed, but for chanting Lord Ramachandra's holy name, the Brahmin did not speak a word. That day, Lord Chaitanya remained there and accepted prasadam at his house. After bestowing mercy upon him in this way, the Lord proceeded ahead. At the holy place known as Skanda Kshetra, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Skanda. From there he went to Trimata. He saw the deity Trivikrama, After visiting the temple of Trivikrama, the Lord returned to Siddhavata, where he again visited the house of the Brahmin, who was now constantly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. After finishing his lunch there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "My dear friend, can you tell me, what is your position now?" Because before he was always chanting Lord Ram's name, but now he was chanting Krishna's name. "Formerly you were constantly chanting the holy name of Lord Ram. Why are you now constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna?" The Brahmin replied, "This is all due to your influence, sir. After seeing you, I have lost my lifelong practice. From my childhood, I have been chanting the holy name of Lord Ram. But upon seeing you, I chanted the name of Krishna just once. Since then, the holy name of Krishna has been tightly fixed upon my tongue. Indeed, since I have been chanting the holy name of Krishna, the holy name of Lord Ram has gone far away. From my childhood, I have been collecting the glories of the holy name from revealed scriptures. The supreme absolute truth is called Ram, because the transcendentalists take pleasure in unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and Na means spiritual pleasure. When the verb Krish is added to the affix Na, it becomes Krishna, which indicates the absolute truth. As far as the holy names of Ram and Krishna are concerned, they are on an equal level. But for further advancement, we receive some specific information from the revealed scriptures." This is a verse from the Brihad Vishnu Sahasranam Sutra. Lord Shiva addressed his wife, Durga, "O Varana, I chant the holy name of Ram, 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 and thus enjoy this beautiful sound. This holy name of Lord Ramachandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu. The pious results derived from chanting the 1,000 holy names of Vishnu 3 times can be attained by only once uttering the holy name of Krishna. According to this statement of the Shastras, the glories of the holy name of Krishna are unlimited. Still, I could not chant this holy name. Please hear the reason for this. My worshipable Lord has been Lord Ramachandra, and by chanting his holy name, I received happiness. Because I received such happiness, I chanted the name of Ram day and night. By your appearance, Lord Krishna's holy name also appeared, and at that time, the glories of Krishna's name awoke in my heart. Sir, you are that Lord Krishna himself. This is my conclusion." Saying this, that Brahmin fell down at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. After showing mercy to the Brahmin, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the next day and arrived at Vrindhakashi, where he visited the temple of Lord Shiva. Lord Chaitanya then left Vrindhakashi and proceeded further. In one village, he saw that most of the residents were Brahmins, and he took his rest there. Due to the influence of Lord Chaitanya, many millions of men came to see him. Indeed, the assembly, being unlimited, its members could not be counted. The Lord's bodily features were very wonderful, and in addition, he is always in ecstasy of love of Godhead. Simply by seeing him, everyone began chanting the holy name of Krishna, and everyone became Vaishnava devotee. There are many kinds of philosophers. Some are logicians who follow Gautama or Kanada. Some follow the Mimamsa philosophy of Jaimini. Some follow the Mayavada philosophy of Shankaracharya. And others follow Kapila's Sankhya philosophy, or the mystic yoga system of Patanjali. Some follow the Smriti Shastra, composed of 20 religious scriptures, and others follow the Puranas and the Tantra Shastra. In this way, there are many different types of philosophies. All of these adherents of various scriptures were ready to present the conclusions of their respective scriptures. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke all their opinions to pieces and established his own cult of bhakti, based on the Vedas, Vedanta, and Brahma Sutra, and the philosophy of Achintya-Veda-Veda-Tattva. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the devotional cult everywhere. No one could defeat him. So, you know, you understand, you know what the Achintya-Veda-Veda-Tattva philosophy is. So, basically what it is the impersonalists, the Shankarites, they feel that ultimately there's no difference between the living entity and God, that it is all one spirit. And that's the theory of monism. And there's the theory of dualism, that there's always difference between the two. Mahaprabhu's theory, well, not theory, Mahaprabhu's conception, is that the Lord and the living entity are simultaneously one and the same, inconceivable. He says that we are of the same spiritual quality, but minute parts of that. So we are one with the Lord, and that in our service mood, we are connected. But we are always individuals, therefore always having consciousness and free will. So inconceivably separate, but together. This is Mahaprabhu's conception. And this is what he was spreading. And ultimately, he is saying it's inconceivable because with our tiny brains, we can't capture this. We can't approach the transcendental plane with our intelligence. So he says inconceivable, meaning it is not possible to go there by logic and reason and intelligence. You must have the mercy of the Vaishnava. So on one hand, Mahaprabhu is giving this philosophy, but in the center, this philosophy is pointing to the plane of dedication, to Jnana Sunya Bhakti. But really, what we want is devotion untouched by knowledge, pure devotion. So he's, through philosophy, he's pointing to the path of no philosophy, or the philosophy of love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the devotional cult everywhere, and no one could defeat him. Being thus defeated by Lord Mahaprabhu, all these philosophers and their followers entered into his cult. In this way, Lord Chaitanya made South India into a country of Vaishnavas. When the non-believers heard of the erudition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came to him with great pride, bringing their disciples with him. One of them was a leader of the Buddhist cult and was a very learned scholar. To establish the 9 philosophical conclusions of Buddhism, he came before the Lord and began to speak. Although the Buddhists are unfit for discussion and should not be seen by Vaishnavas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to them just to decrease their false pride. The scriptures of the Buddhist cult are chiefly based in argument and logic, and they contain 9 chief principles. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated the Buddhists in their argument, they could not establish their cult. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that according to the Buddhist cult, there are 2 ways of understanding philosophy. One is called Hinayana, and the other is called Mahayana. Along the Buddhist path, there are 9 principles. 1. The creation is eternal, therefore there is no need to accept a creator. 2. This cosmic manifestation is false. 3. I am is the truth. 4. There is repetition of birth and death. 5. Lord Buddha is the only source of understanding the truth. 6. The principle of nirvana or annihilation is the ultimate goal. 7. The philosophy of Buddha is the only philosophical path. 8. The Vedas are compiled by human beings. 9. Pious activities, showing mercy to others, and so on, are advised.
The Vedas are compiled by human beings?
In other words, not necessarily, they're not transcendental. In other words, Lord Buddha rejected the Vedas.
These are Buddhist.
These are the Buddhist. The core of the Buddhist conception. That karma and reincarnation, that the path the right path is to, you know, it's good karma, be good to others. That the Vedas reject the Vedas, they're just compiled by people. And that the ultimate goal is nirvana, which basically means nothingness.
Annihilation.
Hmm?
Annihilation.
Yeah. Annihilating individuality. No soul, no nothing.
Suicide. Oh.
Yeah.
Cessation. Nirvana means cessation.
Stopping.
Okay, got it.
So before Lord Buddha came, the people were, quote, following the Vedas, but using them for their own purposes. So when the Vedas...
Barbecue.
When the Vedas prescribed, you know, animal sacrifice, they were using that procedure in the Vedas just to eat meat.
Right.
You know, so they do sacrifice just to have the flesh to eat.
Right.
So this was worse than not following the Vedas. They were misusing them for their own purpose, thus making offense to the Vedas. So to try and correct the situation, the Lord appeared as Lord Buddha. And he said,
just
okay,
have merciful God.
Just forget the Vedas. No scriptures. Just be nice. Don't kill the poor animals.
Right.
You know, so try and bring them up to another level. And then the Lord had Lord Shiva appear as Shankaracharya to bring them to the next level. He says, yes, accept the Vedas. But the ultimate goal is very similar. The Buddhists are seeing a nirvana, and then Shankaracharya is saying, accept the Vedas, but the ultimate goal is Brahman, you know, merging into Brahman, which is something higher. Yes, there is spirit, and we are all one with it. And then Mahaprabhu came with his supreme philosophy. Beyond Brahman, there is a service, and we are all eternally unique and individual and have a relationship with Krishna. So, like this, the Lord is always trying to help living entities. The teacher of the Buddhist cult set forth the nine principles. The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke them to pieces with his strong logic. All middle speculators and learned scholars were defeated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when the people began to laugh, the Buddhist philosophers felt both shame and fear. The Buddhists cannot understand that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Vaishnava, and they returned home very unhappy. Later, however, they began to plot against the Lord.
The Buddhists?
Having made their plot, the Buddhists brought a plate of untouchable food before the Lord and called it Mahaprasada. When the contaminated food was offered to Lord Chaitanya, a very large bird appeared on the spot, picked up the plate in its beak, and flew away.
Okay.
Indeed, the untouchable food fell upon the Buddhist, and the large bird dropped the plate on the head of the chief Buddhist teacher. When it fell on his head, it made a big sound. The plate was made of metal, and when its edge hit the head of the teacher, it cut him. And the teacher immediately fell to the ground unconscious. When the teacher fell unconscious, the Buddhist disciples cried aloud and ran to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya for shelter. They all prayed to the Lord, addressing him as the Supreme Lord and saying, "Sir, please excuse our offense. Please have mercy on us and bring our spiritual master back to life." The Lord then replied to the Buddhist disciples, "You should all chant the names of Krishna and Hari very loudly near the ear of your spiritual master. By this method, your spiritual master will regain his consciousness." Following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice, all the Buddhist disciples begin to chant the holy name of Krishna congregationally. When all the disciples chanted the holy name of Krishna, Ram, and Hari, the Buddhist teacher regained consciousness and immediately began to chant the holy name of Hari. When the spiritual master of the Buddhists began to chant the holy name of Krishna and submitted to Lord Chaitanya, all the people who were gathered there were astonished. Lord Chaitanya, the son of Sachidevi, then suddenly and playfully disappeared from everyone's sight, and it was impossible for anyone to find him. Lord Chaitanya next day arrived at Tirupati in Trimula, where he saw a four-handed deity. He then proceeded toward Venkata Hill. After arriving at Tirupati, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra. He offered his prayers and obeisances before Lord Ram, the descendant of King Raghu. Everywhere Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, his influence astonished everyone. He next arrived at the temple of Panda Nrisimha. The Lord is so merciful. In great ecstatic love, Mahaprabhu offered obeisances and prayers to Lord Nrisimha. The people were astonished to see Lord Chaitanya's influence. Arriving at Shiva Kanchi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the deity of Lord Shiva. By his influence, he converted all the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. The Lord then visited the holy place known as Vishnu Kanchi. There he saw Lakshmi Narayan deities, and he offered his respects and many prayers to please them. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Vishnu Kanchi for 2 days, he danced and performed kirtan and ecstasy. When all the people saw him, they were converted into devotees of Lord Krishna. Thus visiting Trimalaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Trikalahasti, where he saw Lord Shiva and offered him all respects and obeisances. At Pakshitirtha, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Shiva. Then he went to Vridhakula, the place of pilgrimage. At Vridhakula, Lord Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Svetavaraha, the white boar incarnation. After offering him respects, the Lord visited the temple of Lord Shiva, wherein the deity is dressed in yellow garments. After visiting the temple of Siali Bhairavi, a form of the goddess Durga, Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, went to the bank of the river Kaveri. The Lord then visited a place known as Gosamja, where he saw Lord Shiva's temple. Then arrived at Vedavan, where he saw another deity, Lord Shiva, and offered him prayers. Seeing the Shiva deity named Amritalinga, Lord Chaitanya offered his obeisances. Thus he visited all the temples of Lord Shiva and converted the devotees of Lord Shiva to Vaishnavas. At Devastana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Vishnu. And there he talked with the Vaishnavas in the disciplic succession of Ramanujacharya. These Vaishnavas were known as Sri Vaishnavas. Sri meaning the line of disciplic succession coming from Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. Whereas we're in the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, line coming from Lord Brahma, who is Madhvacharya. At Kumbhakarna Karpala, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a great lake and then visited the holy place named as Shiva Kshetra, where a temple of Lord Shiva is located. Purport. Kumbhakarna is the name of the brother of Radha. At the present moment, the city of Kumbhakarna Karpala is known as Kumbhakona and is situated 24 miles northeast of the city of Tanjore. There are 12 temples of Lord Shiva located at Kumbhakona, as well as 4 Vishnu temples and 1 temple of Lord Brahma. After visiting the holy place known as Shiva Kshetra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Papanasana. There he saw the temple of Lord Vishnu and finally reached Sri Ranga Kshetra. After bathing in the river Kaveri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the temple of Ranganath and offered his ardent prayers and obeisances. Thus he felt himself successful. In the temple of Ranganath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced in ecstatic love. Seeing his performance, everyone was struck with wonder. A Vaishnava known as Venkata Bhatta then invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect. Sri Venkata Bhatta took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. After he washed the Lord's feet, all the members of his family drank that water. After offering lunch to the Lord, Venkata Bhatta submitted that the period of Shaktamasya had already arrived. Venkata Bhatta said, "Please be merciful to me and stay at my house during Shaktamasya. Speak about Lord Krishna's pastimes and kindly deliver me by your mercy." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the house of Vinkata Bhatta for 4 continuous months. The Lord passed his days in great happiness, enjoying the transcendental mellow of discussing Krishna's pastimes. While there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath in the river Kaveri and visited the temple of Sri Ranga. Every day the Lord also danced in ecstasy. The beauty of Lord Chaitanya's body and his ecstatic love of God were witnessed by everyone. Many people used to come to see him, and as soon as they saw him, all their unhappiness and distress vanished. Many hundreds of thousands of people from various countries came to see the Lord. After seeing him, they all chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Indeed, they did not chant anything but the Hare Krishna Mantra, and all of them became Lord Krishna's devotees. Thus, the general populace was astounded. All the Vaishnava Brahmins residing in Rangasetra invited the Lord to their homes. Indeed, he had an invitation every day. Each day the Lord was invited by different Brahmins. But some of the Brahmins did not get the opportunity to offer him lunch because the period of Chaturmasya came to an end. In the holy place of Sri Rangasetra, a Brahmin Vaishnava used to visit the temple daily and recite the entire text of Bhagavad Gita. The Brahmin regularly read the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita in great transcendental ecstasy. But because he could not pronounce the words correctly, people used to joke about him. Due to his incorrect pronunciation, people sometimes criticized him, laughed at him, but he did not care. He was full of ecstasy due to reading Bhagavad Gita and was personally very happy. While reading the book, the Brahmin experienced transcendental bodily transformations. The hairs of his body stood on end, tears welled up in his eyes, and his body trembled and perspired as he read. Seeing this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked that Brahmin, "My dear sir, why are you in such ecstatic love? What portion of the Bhagavad Gita gives you such transcendental pleasure?" The Brahmin replied, "I am illiterate and do not know the meaning of the words. Sometimes I read Bhagavad Gita correctly, sometimes incorrectly. But in any case, I am doing this in compliance with the orders of my spiritual master." The Brahmin continued, "Actually, I only see Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot as Arjuna's charioteer. Taking the reins in his hand, he appears very beautiful and blackish. While seeing Lord Krishna sitting in a chariot instructing Arjuna, I am filled with ecstatic happiness. As long as I read the Bhagavad Gita, I simply see the Lord's beautiful features. It is for this reason that I am reading this Bhagavad Gita, and my mind cannot be distracted from this." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that Brahmin, "Indeed, you are an authority on reading the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you know constitutes the real purport of Bhagavad Gita." After saying this, Lord Chaitanya embraced the Brahmin, and the Brahmin, catching the lotus feet of the Lord, began to cry. The Brahmin said, "Upon seeing you, my happiness is doubled. I take it that you are that same Lord Krishna." The mind of the Brahmin was purified by the revelation of Lord Krishna, and therefore he could understand the truth, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in all details. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then taught the Brahmin very thoroughly and requested him not to disclose the fact that he was Lord Krishna himself. That Brahmin became a great devotee of Lord Mahaprabhu and for 4 continuous months did not give up the Lord's company. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the house of Vinkata Bhatta and constantly talked with him about Lord Krishna. In this way, he was very happy. Being a Vaishnava in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Vinkata Bhatta worshipped the deities of Lakshmi and Narayan. Seeing his pure devotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied. Constantly associating with each other, Mahaprabhu and Vinkata Bhatta gradually developed a friendly relationship. Indeed, sometimes they laughed and joked together. Mahaprabhu told the Bhattacharya, "Your worshipable goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, always remains on the chest of Narayan, and she is certainly the most chaste woman in creation. However, my Lord is Lord Krishna, a cowherd boy who is engaged in tending cows. Why is it that Lakshmi, being such a chaste wife, wants to associate with my Lord? Just to associate with Krishna, Lakshmi abandoned all transcendental happiness in Vaikuntha and for a long time accepted vows and regulated principles and performed unlimited austerities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, quoted this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by the wise of the Kaliya serpent. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. Even the goddess of fortune for this end performed austerities for centuries, giving up all of the desires and observing austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity. Venkatabhata then said, Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan are one and the same, but the pastimes of Krishna are more relishable due to their sportive nature. Since Krishna and Narayan are the same personality, Lakshmi's association with Krishna does not break her vows of chastity. Rather, it is in great fun that the goddess of fortune wanted to associate with Lord Krishna. Venkatabhata continued, according to the transcendental realization, there is no difference between the forms of Narayan and Krishna. And yet in Krishna there is a special transcendental attraction due to the conjugal melody, and consequently, he surpasses Narayan. This is the conclusion of transcendental melody. The goddess of fortune considered that her vow of chastity would not be damaged by her relationship with Krishna. Rather, by associating with Krishna, she could enjoy the benefit of the rasa dance. Venkatabhata further explained, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is also an enjoyer of transcendental bliss. Therefore, she wanted to enjoy herself with Krishna. What fault is there? Why are you joking about this? Lord Mahaprabhu replied, I know there is no fault on the part of the goddess of fortune, but still, she could not enter into the rasa dance. We hear this from the revealed scriptures. Another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, the gopis were embraced around the neck by the Lord's arms. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or any other of the consorts in the spiritual world, nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls on the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma exactly resembled the beauty and fragrance of lotus flowers. And what to speak of worldly women, who may be very, very beautiful according to material estimation. But can you tell me why the goddess of fortune Lakshmi could not enter into the rasa dance? The authorities of Vedic knowledge could enter into the rasa dance and associate with Krishna. And then another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Great sages conquer the mind and senses by practicing the mystic yoga system and controlling the breath. Thus engaging in mystic yoga, they see the super soul within their hearts and ultimately enter into impersonal Brahman. But even the enemies of the Supreme Lord attain that position simply by thinking of the Lord. However, the damsels of Raja, the gopis, being attracted by the beauty of Krishna, simply wanted to embrace him and his arms, which are like serpents. Thus the gopis ultimately tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, we Upanishads can also take the nectar of his lotus feet by following in the footsteps of the gopis. Having been asked by my Lord Chaitanya why the goddess of fortune could not enter into the rasa dance, whereas the authorities on Vedic knowledge could, Venkatabhata replied, I cannot enter into the mysteries of this behavior. Venkatabhata then said, I am an ordinary human being. Since my intelligence is very limited, I am easily agitated, and my mind cannot enter within the deep ocean of the pastimes of the Lord. You are the Supreme Lord, Krishna himself. You know the purport of your activities, and the persons whom you enlighten, they can understand your pastimes. The Lord replied, Lord Krishna has a special characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart. by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. By following the footsteps of the inhabitants of that planet known as Vrajaloka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, in that planet, the inhabitants do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord. There, someone may accept him as a son, sometimes bind him to a grinding mortar. Someone else may accept him as an intimate friend, and attaining victory over him, playfully melt his shoulders. The inhabitants of Vrajabhumi know Krishna as the son of Nanda Maharaj, the king of Vrajabhumi, and they consider that they can have no relationship with the Lord in the rasa of opulence. One who worships the Lord by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi attains him in the transcendental planet of Vraja, where he is known as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Mahaprabhu then quoted, "The Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yasoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body to be the same as the self." The authorities in Vedic literature who are known as the Shrutiganas worship Lord Krishna in the ecstasy of the gopis and followed in their footsteps. The personified authorities on the Vedic hymns acquired bodies like those of the gopis that took birth in Vrajabhumi. In those bodies they were allowed to enter into the Lord's rasa dance. Lord Krishna belongs to the cowherd community and the gopis are the dearmost lovers of Krishna. And although the wives of the denizens of the heavenly planets are most opulent within the material world, neither they nor any other woman in the material universe can acquire Krishna's association. The goddess of fortune Lakshmi wanted to enjoy Krishna and at the same time retain her spiritual body in the form of Lakshmi. However, she did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis in her worship of Krishna. Vyasadeva, the supreme authority in Vedic literature, composed the verse beginning Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan, because no one can enter into the rasa dance in any other body than that of a gopi. Before this explanation was given by Mahaprabhu, Venkatabhatta thought that Sri Narayan was the supreme personality of Godhead. Thinking in this way, Venkatabhatta believed that the worship of Narayan was the supreme form of worship, superior to all processes of devotional service, for it was followed by Sri Vaishnava. The Sri Vaishnava disciples of Ramanujacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had understood this misconception of Venkatabhatta, and to correct it, the Lord talked so much in a joking way. So on the premise of like just joking with Venkatabhatta about the position of Lakshmi Devi, Lord Krishna broke his misconception and established that of worship of Lord Krishna to be the highest. The Lord then continued, "My dear Venkatabhatta, please do not continue doubting. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and this is the conclusion of the Vedic literatures. Lord Narayan, the opulent form of Krishna, attracts the mind of the goddess of fortune and her followers. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the Supreme Lord Himself. In every age, He protects the world through His different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. Because Krishna has four extraordinary qualities not possessed by Narayan, the goddess of fortune Lakshmi always desires His company." I think I'm going to stop here today.